I'm Zoe Emily Forbes, and welcome back to the Spoken Woman podcast. We're glad to see you here. Enjoy the episode. Hi, Alexandra. Thank you so much for coming on to the Spoken Woman podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
We start every episode with a quick fire round to break the ice. So I just have a few questions, and if you can just answer really quickly, we'll get started.
Yeah.
So what did you have for breakfast?
Nothing yet.
Same, to be fair, same.
Yeah.
And what's your favourite colour?
Pink.
What's your star sign?
Also, actually, this colour, blue, the colour of my kind of shirt.
Yeah.
But yeah, pink, just why not?
Yeah, I love pink. Pink's great. What TV programme are you watching at the moment?
The West Wing.
I haven't seen that.
No, I hadn't either. I just started watching.
Okay, cool. What's your favourite font?
Helvetica, little black dress of all typefaces.
Yeah. And what is your favourite word?
That is a really hard one. Squidge.
Squidge?
That's a good
great
one.
Word.
Depends what mood you're in, and it's the same with colour, type, anything. Yeah. It depends what mood you're in.
If you're in a silly mood, you go for squidge.
I know.
I like it. So, Alexandra, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I run a branding and design studio. I grew up in West Yorkshire, like a really small town. I used to roam around my dad's wood workshop, kind of making wooden sculptures out of anything that I could get my hands on, but also terrorising his like colleagues, roaming around. And we used to kind of like visit all of the mills in the north of England, and there we'd like salvage like the weirdest things, like bobbins and things, because obviously like the north is it used to be the textile industry, like the go-to place back in the 1800s.
I did not know that.
Interesting. we just like salvage all of this wood, and then my dad would like make reclaimed floors or like furniture out of the old floorboards. And so it was just really like the idea that you could make something out of nothing that inspired me to want to kind of set up my own business.
That's really cool. And so obviously, I suppose my next question is, you wanted to set up your own business, and I'm guessing was in something creative, because the idea of building something out of nothing. But why graphic design?
That's a really good question, actually. I guess, like, I studied graphic design, and now I'm a graphic designer, so I feel like that's quite rare. But, in terms of, like, people have lots of different careers, and they might study one thing and then do something completely different, which is totally understandable, because you go to uni so young, don't you? And it's like... My ex-boyfriend, like my first boyfriend when I was like 17, he was like a graffiti artist, and he used to work in a youth club, and it made sense for him to like study something creative. But his dad was always like, oh, you don't want to do art, it's like a Mickey Mouse course, you know, that kind of thinking. And also, I just had no idea like what art was, like how that you could study it. And like, obviously, I knew what art was in terms of, like, art classes and drawing and stuff, but the idea that you could actually make a career out of it didn't quite make sense. Obviously, didn't know what graphic design was either, but he went on this really good course called Visual Communication in Leeds and just told me about it, so I kind of followed his footsteps and did a similar thing, but up in Glasgow, after splitting up with him.
That's
so nice.
Other than the splitting up, that's really cool. It's nice that you had someone to inspire you as well, because that's really important, I think, at that age.
Yeah.
So where did you study?
I went to the Glasgow School of Art. I studied communications design, and part of that included a year out where I went to Budapest to study traditional animation from like the animators who made like Soviet inspired propaganda films. So that was super interesting, because it was all in like Hungarian, because back in the day they only spoke like Russian or Hungarian, not English. So it was really interesting, because like the teachers were of that generation, whereas my peers were English speaking, so they'd kind of like break things down to me, which was really nice. And then I went over to Berlin to do like an artist's residency, because I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do in terms of like animation, design, art, Yeah, and that was really cool. And then moved back to Glasgow, got my papers, my grandmother always said. And then she like escaped from World War II, like a Nazi occupied Poland then. So she's like, it's super important for her that we, you know, went to uni. Yeah. That kind of immigrant mentality. It's like, you must do well.
Wow, that's really, really interesting. I didn't know that. You haven't told me that. That's amazing. And so why did you decide to found your own company?
I think I've always like wanted to dance to the beat of my own drum, and I just have never been that good at taking orders from other people, and that has been feedback in previous like design studios and places where I've worked, and there's been like lots of positive and kind of constructive feedback as well, in terms of like my previous like employers thought that I was like, I thought differently and kind of could contribute a lot to the design world and stuff, but it just made like sense for me to set up my own thing.
That makes sense, and especially in that kind of industry, because you do have to bring your own stamp to it, right? And so if you're kind of working with other people, you always have to be following their vision. If you have your own vision, you need to go with it. You need to run with it.
Exactly.
Well, what is your mission with the business, personally and professionally?
I think that it's to, like, just grow. Like, I love working with the brands that we're already working with. So we create personal brand identities for, like, business coaches, therapists, exercise fanatics, but also we create like brand identities for galleries and food brands like Camellia Spice Co. or Seuss Cake Studio. So there's lots of different brands that we built for both personal brands and product or service-based businesses, and I just want to continue doing that. I think that's what I love most about my work. It's like learning how the world works from working with lots of different industries.
Yeah, I like that. And I know you mentioned previously that you were applying for Arts Council funding.
Yeah.
How's that gone? What are you doing with that?
I didn't get around to it.
You didn't get around to it? Oh, no.
Because it's an idea to host more craft-based workshops. But, you know, first and foremost, my main responsibility is providing really good quality work for clients that want to stand out. And yeah, sometimes, you know, you've got a list of things you want to do, but your priorities are a bit different. So I still have it on my list of priorities. And I did receive it back in 2019 for some workshops that were focused on supporting charities. So we did the Craft in the Digital Age workshops with like Headway East, who are a charity that support people who have had like brain injuries, and also like women who have escaped like domestic abuse and things like that. So it was really tailored to those groups. And back in 2018, we hosted some craft-based workshops with the London Design Festival, and they were titled Craft in the Digital Age, Make Your Own Typeface. And that's where we like get a group of people together, lots of scissors, paper around the table, and it's like really an opportunity to take a step back away from your screens and participate in a fun and therapeutic craft-based activity. And this is where I teach people how to make their own typeface out of paper from scratch. So it not only gives people like the kind of confidence and practical tools and a bit of a knowledge, because this is for like beginners usually and people who are just curious about the world of type and type design. It not only gives them like some practical skills, but it's just the process and like meeting new people and being present, because it's also helpful with like your performance at work then, isn't it? Because you have like a bit of downtime and respite. So yeah, that's what the Arts Council England funding was going to be tailored for. I'd love to do more later on this year. Yeah.
So you also run workshops with Soho House?
Similar workshops. But, you know, obviously it was funded by Soho House. And we've done some titled experimental drawing. So, again, a very similar idea. where it's just, yeah, helping people to get into the present. Yeah.
I like that. I think that's a really, really important idea, is kind of graphic design can be so digital sometimes now. And when you get people to physically get involved, and it's almost, I feel like you learn to love something more when you're doing it with your hands. It just feels, it feels different, which you probably know from your childhood.
It's exactly.
That's what inspired you at the beginning. So
So
how did you build culture within your team?
So I enjoy taking my team to places like the Tate. Like yesterday, we just packed up at 3:30 and I was like, okay, we're going to go now. Quite spontaneous, but we went to see the Ljubljana Himid exhibition. And I feel like it was acceptable that it was like 4 o'clock and we all had a glass of wine. And it's just so nice to do something like that, because I think really, like, sometimes I catch myself, as a boss or a director, like, oftentimes wanting things to be done a bit sooner than they are. Like, people just need a bit more time, and I think it's super important to balance out the day-to-day stuff, where it can get quite heated, and obviously working in a deadline-driven environment. So balance that out with going out and doing fun stuff, because we're not just, like, one-dimensional, and work isn't everything.
My friend works in graphic design, and she said it's one of the hardest things working in an agency, because you are the product. You are literally the product. Yeah. So it's kind of just go, go, go all the time. And actually that can be quite detrimental if you don't, as a team, kind of come together and build this culture around inspiration as well, which going to the Tate, that definitely does that for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and in a way, it like in turn kind of influences our design practice, because you're getting so much inspiration by going to see stuff, and obviously it's such a visual thing. Like, we might take a close-up of a painting and that will go in like our colour palette thread in Slack, whereas like that's where we collate information just for research purposes. So it's really valuable in lots of different ways.
So where do you actually want to take your business? What are you looking to specialise in for brands and for your clients?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment I'm working at 180 The Strand, which is like, it's an offshoot of Soho House called Soho Works. And it's they should be paying me for this. It's like a co-working space, because I think that they just got really fed up with people having like their laptops open at like the houses. And by the way, for anybody who like is unfamiliar with what they are, it's like a members club for people within the creative industries. But the nature of it is that it's great, because like you're meeting lots of different creatives and entrepreneurs and businesses all the time. But at the same time, it's quite busy and a bit chaotic sometimes, if I'm honest, to work from a busy, buzzing co-working space, essentially. So I'd love to have like, I'd like to stay here, but to have like our own like little office, like where it's actually, you know, there's four walls and we can just bounce ideas around without kind of overhearing someone else's Zoom call. But you know, like with that being said, I think remote working allows us to just like have that really focused time. If there's any project that we're working on that requires a lot of focus and attention to detail, which is often, then I'll let my team members and sometimes myself as well like work from the peace of our own homes. And I think that that's a huge thing nowadays, like people want a kind of hybrid model. But yeah, in terms of like the work that we've been producing, I'd like to work with more new, innovative, interesting clients, and to continue creating bold and vibrant visual identities for anyone who wants to stand out with something different.
Nice. I like that. Yeah, your work's actually, for anyone who hasn't seen Alexandra's work, you might be here because you haven't, you might be here because you have, and you follow her very avidly. But it's very, yeah, I think you definitely have a vision, and it's beautiful, and I think anyone should go onto your website. What is your website, actually, for everyone who's listening?
It's www.alexandralearn.com.
Yes, just do pop on and have a look, because there's some really, really cool work there. So before this interview, I asked you to give me one topic you wanted to discuss for people breaking into and already within the creative world. And you asked if you could speak on social comparison. So I have a few questions for you, and I just wanted to sort of get more of an understanding as to why. So what was your journey with social comparison?
I guess it was like a very unconscious one. I never thought that I did it, but I guess I wanted to touch more on like how social media is like so bad for us in general, like how we're constantly like kind of unconsciously comparing ourselves to other people without meaning to, but also just like what a sewer it is. I guess that's like just the theme that I'm interested in. Like, I used to think that it was a necessary evil to like be on Instagram all the time and to like, you know, interact with people, I think I created one reel and it was stressful. It's like, you know, you want to get it perfect and it's like, no, I should just be putting this kind of like love and care into my work like, and producing quality work for clients. Like, it's so stupid. So I just feel like the whole thing, more than anything, is just a bit dark really. But you know, it's got a purpose, obviously. Like, if you just use it as a tool, then great. And that's what we do now. So I just like religiously kind of schedule content and I'm never on there. And that's just actually changed my life. Like, I did it 6 months ago now. And it's just given me so much more respite. And it goes back to having boundaries as well. Because it's like, you know, if you get a message at 10 at night through your DMs and it's got that red thing, you're just going to want to, like, yeah, it goes to a very kind of, like, primal instinct to want to check it. And that's, I just don't think it's healthy.
I completely agree. Even just managing the podcast Instagram account, I'm constantly, like, looking at other people's podcast Instagram accounts thinking, ah, your feed is really nice and well-designed and there's lots of good reels. But it's just not, I don't want to get too much into it.
That's good, yeah, because if you take anything too seriously, you get stupid about it. And I think that that's the level that I was at before I decided to, like, get off it. And, yeah, that is such a problem, isn't it? But, like, with your podcast, it's much more about the content.
Exactly. So, so how do you think it impacts creativity?
Well, it's good in some ways because you know, get inspiration and through our... my co-workers' accounts will like search for lovely images from like accounts like Chloe and just like really lovely images that provide like inspiration. So it's good in that sense. And I think that otherwise it's
pretty pointless. What advice would you give people to avoid social comparison or to actually utilize social media and this kind of idea of social comparison to actually help them find their voice by being their voice? What I mean is, so with this podcast, the whole idea is kind of helping creative people find their voice. So I just want to get sort of an understanding as to why you think it impacts voice and if people can actually utilize that, that social comparison to sort of drive their voice almost.
I think that everyone has a voice already, and you can evolve it and grow it by reading, like participating in activities that you enjoy, you know, watching documentaries, staying in tune with what's going on, and of course, like being on like various platforms, just for research, just to see what's out there and to see like how what is going on out there aligns with your own like vision and values. But I just think that, you know, it's worth getting off it completely. I wish that the whole world would just like, yeah, I wish that social media wasn't around, because I think that it influences us. I think that it influences people in such a way where things get really convoluted, like the waters are muddied. People almost lose their voices in a sea of noise. And actually, if you want to be original, you have to go a different way. Like, I always say to my colleagues, like, try not to get too much inspiration from places like Pinterest, because you don't want everything to look the same. Let's not try and design everything on Canva for our clients, because we don't want their work to look generic, because those templates have just been created. You know, it's design software for non-designers. And the problem with things like Canva, for designing like social media content with, is that someone might like start designing who isn't a designer, and they're like, oh, I can design something, and it's like, great, but like the process hasn't been there, like the process hasn't been included. So I just feel like thorough research helps you to develop your own voice and be a better kind of practitioner.
No, I fully agree, and that was something I wanted to touch on earlier, but I don't like talking too much in these interviews. But it's just that idea of the more you look at other people's work, the more their work feeds into yours.
Yeah.
And that can be a good thing in the sense that you find inspiration, but also you can end up like, when I do some copywriting in my work, and when I see a sentence, I'm like, oh, that's such a good sentence. Yeah. And it's saying what I need to say. And then suddenly all you can think about is that sentence.
Yeah.
And you can't get it out of your head. And it's the same thing, I think, with design. And it's like, there's only so much inspiration you should source before you go for a walk and have a think and be bored for 10 minutes.
Oh my God,
just be bored.
Being bored. It's like the days of being bored are over.
Literally. I love it when my phone's dead and I haven't got a book and I'm sat on the tube
good,
for 40
it?
Minutes. It's
yeah.
great because you look at people.
Yeah,
look
totally.
At what they're reading. It's just so interesting.
It is, isn't it? Like you're looking around or like walking down the streets of London. It's like you're looking up and seeing what the architecture's like. And that is like you're learning.
Yeah.
And you're not learning by looking into this screen, I don't think.
Exactly.
It's like your brain also just like doesn't differentiate between what's rubbish and nonsense and what's not, what's useful. So I feel like the amount of stuff that we just consume is like a bit scary, to say the least.
Exactly. And I think it was so interesting what you said about Canva, because obviously I'm not a graphic designer, but sometimes I have to use Canva when we have to mock up something quickly.
Mm.
But when you look at social media, everything is so copy and paste nowadays because everyone is using Canva.
Mm.
And there's some brands, I'm sure some of these brands are the brands that you work with and you created the designs for, that they just stand out because they have their own brand identity. They have their own voice in the work that's produced for them, but they're designers.
Yeah.
I think it's such an important step in building out any brand.
Totally.
Personal brand or as a business.
Yeah.
With the company I'm working on, obviously, I think I mentioned it to you before, we're building out our brand right now, and it's such a process.
Yeah.
You can't just mock it up on Canva. You
exactly.
have to work with a graphic designer.
Yeah, a good brand will be like one that communicates to a specific audience, but also like expresses the ethos and values of that brand and like communicates it in a really like unique, interesting, thought-provoking or clear and concise way, depending on, you know, which designer you go to work with. And I just think it's so important to look around and get that kind of information from your environment that can influence that kind of design work.
Yeah. And do your research when you choose a designer as well, because each designer has their own vision, has their own style.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's really, really important to get hands-on with that. Okay, so quick last question is, if you can do this all in one sentence, like, how did you find your voice?
I think I've always had a voice. So I'll start again.
How did you find your voice?
I have always had a voice, like anybody, I guess. And it's just evolved and developed over time. So I remember back in my uni days, it was like, I just wanted to do everything and I mean everything. And my tutors were like, you know, there's no kind of like thread. A lot of my peers had like a kind of hook that they had, but I was just like so curious and wanted to like explore lots of different medias. And but it's since, obviously, like working in industry after graduating, I moved to Amsterdam to do an internship at a research and design studio called Metahaven, and there I learned a lot about type design and type, and they also worked with like lots of businesses that operated for and within the arts and cultural industry, so that was super interesting. And then like coming to London after that, there's just like so many different influences that all contributed to the kind of like style and voice that we have now.
Yeah, so it's evolved over time. I love that. So I said final question, but I do have one last question before we say goodbye. And I just think, because a lot of the people listening would benefit from this, and it would stop you getting so many DMs. But what are the packages you have for brands, and where can potential employees or clients, or even just those seeking inspiration, find you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So you can find a list of our services by going to our website, so www.alexandralyn.com/services. And there you'll find like a kind of list of the different packages that we've got. So it starts from 5K, and that's from So it starts from 5K, and that's for a logo, colour palette, system of images, everything compiled into a brand book. That also includes typography, so a hierarchical system for like primary fonts and secondary fonts, so that like a brand is able to maintain consistency across all platforms. And then it goes up to 10K, and that includes like a strategy piece, and then everything that I just listed, plus a social media style guide, so that they can really again maintain that consistency. And then it goes up again to 20K with a website. So that's a general kind of like ballpark figure, but we're a small bespoke studio, so like all of the packages that we could create are like tailored to each client. So like if somebody comes to us with a specific need, then we'll obviously like include letterheads. And
of course, Alexandra, thank you so much for coming on. It's been such a delight, and I would love to take you for a drink soon.
Oh, likewise. Please feel welcome to come over to our studio. And that goes for anybody listening as well. Like if anyone wants like a free brand consultation, then feel welcome to swing by to 180 The Strand.
Do hit subscribe, and also please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. See you next month.